Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And I really believe that it all starts with the teacher. You are the one who has the capacity to transform your classroom into that space where creativity thrives. And so that's what we explore on this podcast, with stories and sometimes tips and tricks and sometimes frameworks and blueprints. And today we're going to talk about something that might initially seem like it doesn't quite fit in with the idea of creativity or, you know, a maker mindset. And it's this idea that maybe journalism is actually the class of the future. Now, when we think about the future of learning, we often hear about STEM and STEAM, and we hear about robotics or coding, and all of those things are vital for students to learn. In fact, those are topics we will explore on this podcast from time to time. But I'd argue that one of the most relevant subjects for developing that maker mindset is actually journalism. So why journalism? Well, when students learn to make sense out of their world, they become people who will transform it. We often think about creativity as being, you know, making products, but sometimes what you make is a difference. Sometimes you build stuff, but sometimes you build movements. And it's not just that. If we want students to have critical thinking skills, and if we want them to be creative thinkers as well, then journalism is actually one of the best ways to make it happen. And so I want to start out with my story of how I got involved in teaching journalism. Now, if you looked at my teaching contracts, it would appear that I taught journalism for just 3 of my 12 teaching years. But that's not entirely accurate. See, while the contracts will tell you that I taught self-contained, which is all subjects, and that I taught spent a good time teaching social studies, or that I taught STEM and computers, the reality is I always taught journalism. That was always something that we did from actually year one. It started my first year of teaching when we were assigned to teach intervention periods. And when you hear the word intervention, it kind of sounds like someone's like a drug addict or something, right? Like a group hovers around to do an intervention. But this was just, I guess, helping kids who were behind on a subject. And to my surprise, nobody on my team wanted to teach writing intervention. And that felt like it had to be a mistake, because writing is one of my favorite subjects to teach. And it's actually one of my hobbies. It's what I love to do every single day. In fact, I can't think of a day in my life since I was like in the fourth grade where I haven't done some kind of writing for fun. But anyway, I quickly realized that my students hated writing. I mean, they really, really hated it. And I fought this at first by trying to bribe them to write, and then I would do very specific direct instruction lessons on how to write, and I came up with some what I thought were highly engaging writing prompts and had them keep journals, and nothing was working. So finally, I did a reset, and I began with the question, how do you feel about writing? Every one of them described boredom, anger, and frustration. Every single one of them. They hated writing prompts, and they wanted the freedom to choose their own topics. But they also just hated writing in general. They really didn't think anything could make it good. They hated the formulaic nature of the editing process. They hated having to spend forever doing graphic organizers and organizing things and all of that. And I realized that really they didn't hate writing. They hated fake writing. They hated writing in school. They didn't love writing outside of school, of course. They just had never really been exposed to the way that we actually write. So I pitched an idea. We are going to run an online magazine. We can do videos and podcasts. We can write articles. You get to choose the topics. And this was, by the way, at the same time that I was doing a documentary project and was first getting into project-based learning and design thinking. So it all kind of converges into the same thing, but this was kind of, I would say, my first big project. The documentary project might fit that too, but if you're curious about the timeline, it kind of all converges at the same time. But anyway, I pitched that idea. And at first, they hated it. They still didn't want to. They grumbled. They whined. They told me that it wasn't fun. But something changed over the next 2 weeks when they first saw their work online. It was like magic. Now, this was back before every kid had an iPad or a Chromebook. This was before, this was, I guess, technically pre-Google Docs, right? I mean, this was a long time ago. So on some level, there was this novelty factor. But I think it was more than that. They loved having a real audience. They loved having something that felt like it wasn't just for school. So for the rest of the year, as we closed it out, this writing intervention class morphed into a journalism class. They called our blog Social Voice, and we actually called it Social Voice E-Magazine, or E-Zine for short, if you remember when that was a thing. And two of the students sketched out this logo that kind of has this graffiti tagging style. I still think it looks awesome. And they edited it on Photoshop, and we were really proud of what we had created. And this quickly spilled into my regular social studies class, where students began filming documentaries and recording podcasts. We used the design thinking process that we'd been learning in with this separate project. And we started to really begin with a place of empathy and eventually design these whole media packages that would launch to a specific audience. Now, at the time, we didn't have a real podcast. I think we hosted our audio on the Library of Congress because it was free. And we didn't even have YouTube at the time, but it didn't matter. The technology has changed a ton since then. But the skills, the thinking, the creativity, all of that has become vital. And I still run into students who were part of that class from years and years ago, 15 years ago, something like that, who will say to me, I remember making that. I remember what it was like to see my work online for the first time. I remember the first time someone left a comment on my blog and I couldn't believe it. So I want to talk about why it's necessary, though. Why do students actually need journalism? When people talk about the future of learning, they often mention technology and engineering, things like Sphero balls or Arduino sets or coding projects. And while I love this emphasis on STEM and STEAM, I can't help but wonder if maybe we miss out on the power of journalism because it isn't something shiny or new. It isn't something with a fancy new name. It's something that's been around, well, since before the creation of our democracy. But if you ask people what type of technology skills they want students to have in the future, you'll hear things like digital citizenship, media literacy, information literacy, and creative thinking, right? Problem solving. Unfortunately, schools tend to teach these topics in isolation. They put them in these separate buckets. So we'll do a media literacy or information literacy unit. We'll have kids at a makerspace learning creative thinking. We'll teach them all about digital citizenship. And there's nothing wrong with those things. I, for one, think that a makerspace and a journalism class fit hand in hand. But the idea is with journalism, these buckets are all mixed together. There's this overlap that happens between the creative thinking and the media literacy or the information literacy and the digital citizenship. See, journalism integrates digital citizenship, media literacy, and creativity into this connective, authentic experience. Instead of teaching mini lessons on these topics, students discover these ideas as they engage in the inquiry, research, content creation, and publishing process. So I want to explore what we mean by that. Let's start with digital citizenship. Schools often approach digital citizenship with this kind of fear-based deficit mindset. There's an implied message of, you better not screw this thing up, kids. So you get lessons on the danger of having a bad digital footprint, or you get a lesson on the importance of being nice online, and you hear all about what it means to follow the rules. But is that really citizenship? I mean, don't we want our students to grow into critical thinking, democratic citizens that change the world? Don't we want them to learn what it means to engage in hard conversations while being kind and empathetic at the same time? Don't we want them to advocate for things that they care about? Those are the ideas of a different kind of digital citizenship. And they are at the forefront of digital journalism. It's the belief that students should engage with the world in meaningful ways. And sometimes it means sharing their passions and interests with the world. And other times it means advocating for issues they care about. And sometimes it's just sharing what's going on in the world, finding things and writing about it. But the common idea here is the notion of a citizen journalist who thinks critically about the world and is sharing the information for others. Here, students learn to leverage the creative and connective power of their technology in a way that is rooted in an actual context. All right, how about media literacy and information literacy? Well, with digital tools, it's easier than ever to create, edit, and publish your work to the world, but there's a cost. It's also easier than ever to spread misinformation, and fake news has become a real issue in recent times. We see this with students. According to a Stanford study, only 25% of high school students were able to identify an accurate news story when they were also given a fake one. Students also had a hard time distinguishing between real and fake photographs, as well as authentic and staged videos. Now, researchers used words like bleak and dismaying to describe it, but it's not going away anytime soon. The proliferation of information is just going to increase, and that's a real problem. So a few months ago, I created this video about why fake news is an issue and how we can fix it. And you'll find it on this particular blog post and that fits with this podcast. But I just want to say, if you go to Google, go to YouTube and type fake news and how to fix it, you'll find it within there. And I talk about the specific process that I teach for helping students to identify if news is real or if it's fake, and really just how information literacy works. And so you really begin with that point in digital journalism, but it takes this media literacy and information literacy a step further. See, when they are being journalists, students learn how to read critically, but they also learn how to identify credible sources as they create their own content. Instead of stopping at critical reading, which is incredibly vital, students also learn how to construct critically. They internalize the mindset of critical reading as they create content themselves and learn what it means to craft something that is honest and trustworthy. Now, I'm going to give a bad metaphor here, so just bear with me. If you think about football, it is a complex game with all kinds of offensive and defensive schemes. You can study it at a deep and profound level as a fan, but you understand the mindset and the inner workings of the game when you actually play it yourself. Spoiler alert, I've never actually played on a football team because I don't like to get hurt. But anyway, the game it comes alive when you actually play it yourself. And similarly, you can appreciate art at a deeper level when you actually sit in front of a canvas and paint something on your own. Being an art critic is fine, art appreciation is excellent, but there's an element of understanding art that happens when you actually learn how to think like an artist. And the same is true for students. When they engage in creative acts of journalism, they gain a better understanding of how people actually produce the media and construct informational texts. And that is critical for them to be able to understand those informational texts when they're online as well. And finally, creativity. Let's take it home and talk about why it helps with creative thinking. Like I said before, I am passionate about seeing students develop a maker mindset. But often when we hear maker, we think of engineering, maker spaces full of robots, people solving complex problems in collaborative groups, or maybe prototyping and using 3D printers. But there's this other side of the maker mindset that is rooted in context. It's what happens when students engage in inquiry and problem solving by looking at things from multiple perspectives. It's what happens when students become master curators. It's what happens when students think critically about information from multiple sources and take it a step further by thinking critically about the medium itself. It's what happens when they learn how to send their work to an authentic audience and when they actually interact with that audience and have conversations. These creative elements are central to journalism. As students move from inquiry through research into iterative thinking and eventually into content creation, they become makers. And when they own this entire publishing process, and again, you probably noticed that I advocate for using design thinking as a publishing process, they learn how to be creative thinkers. They learn how to find their creative voice, and they learn how to work through the entire design process. And all of those become transferable skills. They become the things that they can use in life. Final thought. There's a thing called curation. Now, when we think about creativity, it's easy to picture a person coming up with something entirely new, pulling it from the air and making it from scratch. But if you watch people engaged in creative work, they're often critical consumers of the same type of work they create. Chefs are often curators of good food, right? Musicians often curate music that they enjoy listening to. And there's this ongoing cycle of critical consuming that leads to inspiration that then leads to creative work. And as they create more, it leads to a deeper ability to consume critically, where they then find more inspiration, and it continues in this cycle of critical consuming, inspiration, and creative work. So if we want students to be makers, we also want them to be critical consumers. And unfortunately, we live in a world of instant information. The ideas go viral without much thought regarding accuracy or validity. Just go on Facebook right now and you'll kind of see it happening. It's a place where content is cheap to make, cheap to share, cheap to consume. And the traditional gatekeepers are gone, which is great for students. They can create and share work in ways that were unimaginable in previous generations. But there is that cost. It's that fake news issue, right? It's the fact that they don't always consume the best information. The best stuff doesn't always rise to the top online. And if we're not careful, we can mistake the speed of consumption with depth of knowledge. And this is why students need to be curators. So not only should they have that information literacy that I mentioned before, they should also develop a curator's mindset. They should learn how to classify information, how to organize it, how to prioritize it, how to figure out if it's valid or not, and then how to share that curation with an audience. Now, curation and journalism go hand in hand. The best journalists are also phenomenal curators. And it's no surprise that some of the most popular blogs online right now, like if you look at Brain Pickings, for example, or Farnham Street, they are essentially curation blogs. Yes, they have original content, but they are filled with great information gleaned from others. Now, you might be thinking, okay, this is nice, but isn't journalism a dying industry? Right? Why teach them and prepare them for an industry that doesn't exist anymore or won't exist when they're older? And I hear that all the time. Whenever I mention the value of journalism, people are quick to point out that traditional journalism is a dying industry. Why prepare students for a job that might not exist when they're older? And they have a point when they bring that up, right? I get it. It can sound crazy to open an elementary and middle school journalism program or a high school one when the local newspaper is going out of business. I get that. But I'd argue that the industry isn't dying. It's evolving. Look at the sheer number of professional bloggers, podcasters, and YouTubers. In fact, ask your students who they look up to the most, and chances are they will tell you the name of someone from YouTube. It's a massive industry. Now, it's true that many of them aren't journalists in the traditional sense, and some of them spread really awful misinformation, but doesn't that just speak to the necessity of learning how to think like a journalist? Whether you're a foodie blogger or doing a political podcast, there's a value in learning how to investigate and research, think critically, communicate clearly, find information. All of those things come from journalism. But I also wonder if the question, isn't this a dying industry, might just miss the point. After all, we still teach PE, despite the fact that most kids will not become professional athletes. We still teach music, even though cities are cutting down their symphony budgets and getting rid of their opera programs, right? That is sadly something that's happening all over the place. We teach math, even though very few students will grow up to be professional mathematicians. We have chess clubs and competitions, despite the fact that none of the students will grow up to become kings or queens ordering medieval knights to attack unsuspecting villages, right? But we do these things for a reason. We do that because they help students think differently. I believe the best way to prepare students for the future, for a future where they have to navigate complex information and think creatively, I think one of the best ways to do that is to empower them in the present. And journalism asks students to make sense out of their world as critical thinking citizens and then communicate their ideas to an authentic audience. And if you think about that, really, isn't that what we want for our students? Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, would you do me a huge favor and leave a review on iTunes, or I guess it's now Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, and just leave a review. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, and go out and make something awesome.